This is the FBCG Live Podcast with Pastor John K. Jenkins, Sr. Today's message is titled, The Purpose Series, Part 3. When you get into the realm God has called you to, the devil will mess with you. Wherever you're joining us from, we pray this message encourages and empowers you in your daily walk with God.
Great. I missed two Sundays in a row these past two Sundays. I don't normally do that. My schedule has been intense, so I've been bottled up. So I might preach for 2 hours today. Y'all perpetrators. And I want to pick back up in my series on purpose. So we've gone through the first 2 points. Today is part 3 of purpose. And that's what I just want to talk about is part 3. We've already talked about in part 1 how to discover your purpose and your identity, knowing why God created you. Ultimately, God created all of us for His glory, that our lives points to Him. Look at your neighbor and say, ain't about you, baby. Go ahead, tell them, ain't about you. Ain't about your name, ain't about your reputation. It's not about your career. It's not about whatever you created. It's about God created you ultimately to live a life that points to Him. And whichever way your life can give Him the greater glory, He will help you fulfill that in your walking and living. He's called us to, our purpose is to serve other people. He's bestowed upon us a kingdom. Here's what the scripture says in this text here. I didn't talk about this during the series, but I just want to mention. He said, I bestow upon you a kingdom. That's what it said. Matter of fact, if you're in Luke 22, let me just read that to you. Jesus is talking to the disciples, and in verse 29, He says, and I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one upon me. Jesus says, the same thing the Father did to me, I'm going to do to you. He says, I'm going to bestow, I'm going to put on, I'm going to smear you with a kingdom. And what that word kingdom means is He's going to put you in your own zone. That's how I like to describe it, that when you get in the scheme of what God created you to do, can't nobody do what you do like you do when you do it. Nobody can beat you being the person that God created you to be. You mess up by trying to be like everybody else. You want to look like Beyonce. You ain't Beyonce, baby. Stop trying to look like her. How you know, Pastor? I did not go last night. Let me just be clear. I was not there. I would not spend my hard-earned money to go see somebody. I'm sorry. And I mean, the amount of money that they're paying to go to these shows, it blows my mind. And then complain about paying your tithes. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. You ain't got to say a thing to me. I feel tension in the room. You know what? I better save these comments for the 11:30 crowd. That's who needs to hear that. So that was part one, is recognizing why God created you, His purpose. And then we talked about how do you fulfill it. And we shared with you that God wants you to discover your calling and your purpose by the passion He gives you, the provision, the possibilities or the opportunities, the fact that you're going to have player haters, opposition, and then God will raise up partners. I don't know if I remember us talking about that. Today is part 3, and there's one thing, if I could drive one point home today, I have to tell you about this. I wish I could talk to you about purpose without talking to you about this, but I have to talk to you about it, because if I don't tell you about it and prepare you for it, you might wash out. And I don't want you to wash out. I don't want you to quit. And so that's why I've taken you to this 22nd chapter of Luke. And I want to just spend a moment. Now, by the way, I don't have points. Look at your neighbors. They ain't got no points today. Don't wait. Don't wait for point one, point two, point three. Today's message is a narrative message. So write down what the Holy Ghost say to you. And I believe he's going to say a whole lot to you. Tell your neighbor, he's going to say a whole lot to you. Now, in Luke chapter 22, I want you to turn there real quick if you have your Bibles, Luke 22, there's a dialogue going on between the disciples about who is the greatest. Really, the real discussion is who's going to take leadership of the ministry after Jesus is gone? Who's going to be the pastor when the pastor has left? That's what the real question is. Who's going to lead the ministry? Who's going to take over this conglomerate of this ministry that Jesus has started? All these thousands of people following him, who's going to take over? So they're debating. Matter of fact, the scripture says, in verse 26, he says, they're debating about who is the greatest among them. Another translation says they argued about it. It was a fight. It was an eternal fight. It was intense. It was an intense discussion about who is the greatest among them. And Jesus unveils to them some just amazing things to me. He says, you are, verse 27, for who is greatest, he who sits at the table and he who serves? Who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. He says, here's how greatness is measured. Are you willing to be a servant? Or are you sitting back waiting for people to serve you? Oh, I feel tension in the room again. Yet I am among you as the one who serves, but you are those who have continued with me in my trials. Verse 28. And I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Do y'all see that? Verse 30. Jesus is having this dialogue and he's unveiling this truth to them, but then he says something amazing that I have to tell you. This is what the whole purpose of what I want to talk to you about is in verse 31 and 32. He says, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Let me stop right there. It's pause. Somebody say pause. Take a moment. I want to take a moment and talk to you about something, because some of you don't understand that when you get into the realm of what God created you to do, the devil is going to try to stop you. That's a nice little patty cake, but I want y'all to recognize, because people quit. People will stop going to church when they hit a little tension, when they get a little stressed out, when people talk about them, when somebody, whatever the kind of issue, it goes with the territory. Resistance, rejection, opposition goes with the territory of you fulfilling your call. As a matter of fact, I've said this before, I want to say it again. In my 50 years of ministry, ooh, Lord, 50 years. Before every significant advancement in my ministry, before God boosted me to a new level and a new accomplishment, some kind of drama always raised his head. Something always came up, and some of y'all get frustrated and angry and mad and cussing at God because why God let this happen to you? Oh Lord, slow down, Pastor. My assignment is to try to prepare you that tension and trials are going to come. It goes with the territory. Don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. Don't quit. Don't walk away. Don't get frustrated. It's an indication that you're close to where God's trying to get you to go. It's an indicator that you're headed in the right direction. Somebody say, I must have been headed in the right direction all my life. It looked like all hell is going on in all of my life. You think it's tough now. You have not yet faced what the devil has in store for you. Matter of fact, here's what Jesus says. He says to him, he says, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. That's a significant point. I want you to get that in your head. I want you to understand that the drama and the burden of the experiences of what you're going through is aimed at you. And I want you to recognize that you must be a bad somebody when the devil asks for you. Y'all not hear what I'm saying to you today. You must be a bad somebody. Y'all know I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. Y'all know that I'm a Baltimore Ravens. Don't play a hate. Don't get mad. Don't be upset with me. I tried to be a Commanders fan. I tried. I got tired of losing. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I got tired of getting disappointed. I got tired of being defeated and losing games they should have lost. But maybe since they under new ownership, they might have a change and a shift. I might come back if it looked like it might be a little different, but I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know. But with the Baltimore Ravens, that's the team I follow. That's the team I look after. That's the team I cheer for. That's the team who I went to the Super Bowl to watch in 2012, and they won the Super Bowl. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. Yeah, I like the Baltimore Ravens. All the discussion and all of the talk is about Lamar Jackson. Baltimore right there. He from Baltimore. And then they just signed a wide receiver, Odell Beckham. He's a bad dude. One-handed catch. If I do this, you know I'm talking about Odell. Odell can catch the ball one hand. Notice they don't talk about the other receivers. There's no tension about there's no questions or dialogue about the backup quarterback or the third string quarterback. There's no talk about any of it. All the talk is about Lamar and Odell because they have the potential of winning them a Super Bowl. And that's why the devil has asked for you by name, because you represent a threat to his kingdom. You don't even recognize how anointed you are. You don't even recognize the gifts and the callings that God has put on you, that the devil has gone to the Father and called out your name. Tell your neighbor, I must be a bad somebody. He asked for me. He put my name on the table. He said, John Jenkins. The devil recognizes something that you don't recognize about yourself, that you a bad somebody. Point yourself, say, I must be a bad somebody. I must be a playmaker. I must be a baller. I must be a shot caller. I must be the one that's going to make a difference. And my assignment is to tell you, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you've been called by God. Yes, you've been anointed by God. Yes, you've been gifted by God. Yes, you've been empowered by God. And the devil does not want you to reach your destiny. Somebody high-five your neighbor and say, I must be a bad somebody. Tell them, I'm a baller. I'm a baller. I'm a shot caller. You represent a threat. Souls are going to get saved because of you. Marriages are going to be healed because of you. Children are going to get delivered because of you. The devil's going to be defeated and God's going to get the glory all because of you. People are going to be healed. Miracles are going to happen. The gospel's going to be carried out. Souls are going to get saved because of you. People are watching you. They're looking at you. And when they see you worship God in spite of all the hell that you're going through, they will conclude only a God that they are serving can cause them to worship God with all the hell that they're going through. Oh, I feel like preaching up in here today. Now, check this out. Y'all still with me? The enemy went to, and Jesus said, Satan, Peter, Simon, the devil in all of our conversations has asked me about you. He's called out your name. He knew that one day Peter was going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He knew that he would be the first apostle to go to the empty grave. He knew that he would preach the gospel and be one of the preachers of the early church. He knew that miracles were going to be happening and people would be delivered out of prison and people would be healed of sickness and diseases, and that Peter would eventually carry the gospel to the east. He knew he represented a main threat. So he said, Peter, he's asked for you by name. Wait, hold on, y'all missing it. Here's what I gotta break down for you. Look at verse 31. He says, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you his wheat. You're not gonna like this, but this is true. The word you in the Greek is plural. What does that mean? Here's what he said. The disciples sitting around the table, he said, Simon, the devil has asked for y'all. I got to explain everything to you. He's asked for you and your family. He wants you and your spouse. He wants you and your children. He wants y'all. Tell your neighbor, he wants y'all. Tell him on the other side, he wants y'all. He said, he wants Peter and the rest of y'all. That's why we're together here today, to give each other strength, because he's trying to tear us down and frustrate us. But, oh, I feel a shout down in my sanctified soul. But here's what I'm thankful for. Here's what I give God the praise about, that he may ask for us, but he can't have us. You can't have me, devil. You want to frustrate me, but you can't have me. You want me to quit, but I ain't quitting. You want me to stop, but I refuse to stop. I'm not stopping. That devil asked for, y'all remember Job? When Job, the devil asked God for Job. The devil showed up in stood before the Lord, and God said, have you considered my servant Job? I'm just grateful. Somebody gonna shout on this. I'm just grateful that God thinks enough about me that he said to the devil, have you checked out my boy John? Somebody ought to be glad that God thought enough about you with all that you've gone through, that he sees enough in you to say to the devil, have you considered my boy? Have you considered my girl? In other words, he knows that he's put enough in me, down inside of me, that I'm able to take a licking and keep on ticking. I can go through hell and still give God the glory. I can be talked about, I can be rejected, I can be lied on, I can have all that happen and
still give God the glory.
Woo! Oh, I feel a shout down in my soul. Somebody say, I got a shout down in my soul. And hold up. Wait a minute. Oh, somebody go, some ushers, in the words of Gail, ushers, guard the door. Somebody gonna get up and run around here, this building, at this point right here. And you know why God could suggest our names to the devil? Have you considered? Because he knows he's already put a shield around us. I'm protected, I'm covered. He got my back. He won't let more happen to me than I'm able to bear. If I got it coming in me, there's enough in me to handle it. You can handle it. He's put a limit on what he can do. He's put a stopping point. Tell yourself there's a stopping point. He can only go but so far. Somebody give God praise that he put a stopping point on. God knows, I'm almost finished. He knows, God knows, that no matter what you go through, he knows that you have learned that in the midst of your trials, he's worthy of your praise. I don't know what you're going through, but go ahead and stop and say, you're still worthy. I may have lost my job, but you're still worthy. The doctors may have diagnosed me with something they can't fix, but you're still worthy. My spouse might have walked out, but you're still worthy. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, let us exalt his name together. Of the goodness of Jesus.
and all that he has done for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You saved me. You delivered me. You healed me. You washed me. You forgave me. You're fixing me.
I've been in church all my life. I ain't never seen nobody do no cartwheel in church. And it's all right. Because if you know what he came through, if you knew that he was struck out on drugs, stealing cars and vehicles from the church, and God delivered him and gave him a job back at the church.
The devil tried, but let me testify.
A lot of things in church,
but I ain't never seen nobody car.
Now, this man, I just got to talk about him for a moment, because he's our most enthusiastic employee. If you ever walk into the ministry center, here's Tim Thomas. Hey! Hey! That's him. But if you know what he has come through, I suspect there's some more of y'all that should be doing some cartwheels too. You look back on all the hell God brought you out of. You should be dead by now, but God spared your life. You should be doing some cartwheels. I know I said I was almost done. I'm not almost done. I'm going to have to pick this up next time. I'll pick it up next time. There might be somebody here today that don't understand all this commotion. They don't know that we have been forgiven of our sins. We've been healed from our diseases. We've been delivered from our bondages. We've got a joy deep down inside that only drugs can't give it to you. Sex can't give it to you. A person can't give it to you. Only Jesus can give you this joy.
You've been listening to FBCG Live with Pastor John K. Jenkins Sr. The devil may ask for you, but he cannot have you. God has put a shield around you. If you've been blessed by this message and would like to help us reach more people through this ministry, please click the link in the podcast description or visit our website, fbcglenarden.org/give-to-donate. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you'll subscribe so that you'll never miss an episode. Be sure to tune in next week.